You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 5 January. We're back and Happy New Year. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you loud and recorded from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, long interview with Stafford Massey. He's Executive Chairman of Africa Bitcoin Corporation, talking around the concept behind the Bitcoin Treasury Company, but how they're doing it different from the likes of Strategy Inc. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Stafford Massey, Executive Chairman of African Bitcoin Corporation. It was Old Fest previously, now it's African Bitcoin Corporation. Stafford, appreciate the time. Let's first start with the concept of a Bitcoin treasury company. Then I want to go back into the history of where African Bitcoin Corporation comes from. Bitcoin treasury company, in essence, this is a company which would be, in this case, tradable, and at its core is a holding of Bitcoin crypto assets.
That's correct, yeah. Bitcoin. Don't say crypto assets, Bitcoin. We're Bitcoin maxis, so we focus pretty much on the only true digital commodity, the asset that doesn't have an issuer, that's Bitcoin. So yeah, look, I mean, the Bitcoin treasury company market per se has morphed into what they call DATs right now, digital asset treasuries. And it's, you know, guys are raising Ethereum, Solana, and their treasuries, et cetera. And this is, you know, this is just a mess. That's all a mess. But if you take a look at how it all began, it began with Michael Saylor kind of building out Strategy. And what he did there was he built Bitcoin on his balance sheet. And not only did he do that, he then issued out equity in an accretive dilutionary manner to increment that Bitcoin treasury. And then he went even further and he started, you know, playing with his cap table in a very, very novel way and started issuing out preferred stock. And those preferreds have different delimiters associated with them, all the way to what he has today, which are instruments that take on fixed income markets, like the money market. I mean, his latest one, Stretch or STRC, takes on the money market. And that is because he's got Bitcoin as an underpinning. And if you take a look at Bitcoin's performance as an asset, you know, if you take a look at the size of his treasury, he's capable of taking on fixed income markets in very novel ways. Now, I would argue that he's probably one of two in the world that can do that today because of the size of his Bitcoin. You've got Metaplanet in Japan. You've got Saylor in the United States. But pretty much all the other Bitcoin treasury companies can't really do that right now simply because we don't have enough Bitcoin. But what we can do is we can use Bitcoin in similar, in principle, novel ways. So what we've chosen to do with Bitcoin is to build it up on our balance sheet and utilize it as collateral for us to supercharge our private credit business. So we are a Bitcoin treasury company that combines a private credit, fiat-based private credit engine, and we're powering it with Bitcoin. What does that mean? I can fly to Japan, I can fly to Switzerland, and I finally have something on my balance sheet that is recognized, that is hyper-liquid, that is collateralized, that I can do an LTV of 10 to 20% on and fly back to South Africa with fiat money in my account at an interest rate of 4 to 6%, and I can deploy it in my private credit business at 20%. And as I keep building up this Bitcoin muscle, and I keep doing that in this highly accretive dilutionary manner, utilizing different instruments, we can do it like we're doing it with equity today and raising capital with a very good MNAV. So it's highly accretive. We can also issue some novel way, you know, debt-oriented instruments, but we're not there yet. We don't feel comfortable doing that yet. We're going to do it carefully. We're going to do it meticulously. And we're going to do it openly and transparently. But the main intent here is to take our Bitcoin, fly around the world, get cheap money, and deploy that in our private credit business with a beautiful arbitrage and having deep impact across the African continent. So we are going to not just do it in South Africa. We're going to do list across the African continent. And I think another unique aspect of us versus anyone else is that, you know, number one is we're taking our private credit business and we're melting it up into this Bitcoin play, which gives it more power and more muscle. And our capability to get money overseas is a lot more possible today with Bitcoin. Number two is we're going to do it Pan-African. So we represent the continent. We don't just represent a country. So strategy is the United States. Metaplanet is Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
H100 is, you know, the Nordics. So what we represent is Africa. And the reason for doing this is a multifold. Number one is I think the JSE is the only boss on the African continent that has the necessary liquidity to do this play, number one. Number two is we are plugged in globally into most of the exchanges technologically. Our governance is highly respected. Our rule of law, our political stability, our economic stability, etc. That all gives us the rationale and the underlying substrate to go and do what we're doing on the JSE, do list like we did in Namibia. Mm-hmm. And we want to do list in Botswana, we want to do list in Zimbabwe, Uganda, Kenya, etc., all the way up into all the countries that are relevant to this play. And then simultaneously, we're opening up. So we've just announced that we are now live in Frankfurt, Germany. So hello, Europe. We launched in the United States on the OTC QB trading board. So we live there. We're working very hard to get our UK listing done. And essentially what we're doing is we're opening up the railway lines for capital to flow from overseas into our play and similarly across the continent on Africa. And what we're doing is we're raising both to buy Bitcoin and we're raising also to bulk up our private credit book. And we've shown that we're capable of doing this. We've loaned to, you know, up to 50 SMMEs now. We've impacted almost 2,000 jobs. And what we've come up with is not just a BTC yield or BTC per share metric. We've actually come up with a human yield metric. And so we've, in a very novel way, we've figured out that one Bitcoin that we raise equals 5 African jobs. And that's a human impact story.
Yeah.
That's an impact. That's a story that's more powerful. That's a story that's more relevant. That's a story that has more purpose. And the business at the bottom, the private credit business, as we bulk that business up and we deploy more capital, in a budget neutral way, we can aggregate our Bitcoin treasury. So it's a flywheel that feeds into the entire thing. And over time, our vision is to offer out, you know, new services that are collateralized by our Bitcoin on our balance sheet. When we get to a certain size, we can issue out, you know, to our SMMEs that we've lent to different financial services backed by Bitcoin. So why couldn't we issue out, you know, Bitcoin-based life insurance? Things like that we're thinking about at the moment. So we think it's novel. We think it's exciting. The market loves it. And we're going to just keep doing what we're doing.
And this is much more than the initial concept of strategy in Michael Saylor, which was hold crypto. And if I want crypto, I could buy his company. And you know, at times it changed at premiums. At times it trades at discounts. But this is way different. And I take your point. When you fly to wherever the case may be, and you say, I've got ZAR on my balance sheet, they're like, well, that's sweet. You know, no disrespect to the Tsar. When you arrive there and say, I've got a Bitcoin on my balance sheet, they know exactly what it is. They know exactly what the current value is. It's a fundamentally different conversation, even if the Tsar and Bitcoin were of, say, the same value. It is just a different conversation that you're having.
Well, let's give it some more color, Simon. It's the Bitcoin is not just value-based, but technologically speaking, it is a piece of collateral that you can lock down. You can hold it in escrow. It's very cheap to lock Bitcoin in a wallet, in a digital wallet, and form some type of contract around it very quickly, very easily. So it's much simpler. It lives above legal jurisdictions because it's keys, it's private keys. So the way you lock that down in a multi-sig wallet or it's just so frictionless, and that's extremely powerful. So we've never had an asset. They can literally fly to Russia. You can fly to the United States, you can fly to anywhere in the world, and you can put it down on the table. You can do a proof of reserve on it. You can lock it in a wallet, and it's collateral. And they can see it all the time, in real time. And that's the power of it. And I think it's not just the value of it. It's the powers in the technology itself that you can use it now to collateralize, to get a fiat loan. And if it's really big, and that's our intention, right? So we want to go real big, real carefully, real slowly, but we want to build up the muscle so we can really lend at scale. You know, we'd like to lend billions and billions of rands and deploy that into our private credit. And pension funds love the story. So fixed income markets like this because it's not a ETF or ETN. It's not a, you know, our stock is not a direct reflection of Bitcoin.
Yeah,
we actually have a flywheel. The flywheel is highly impactful. The flywheel has clear metrics. I mean, we launched our analytics page. If you go take a look at AfricaBitcoinCorporation.com, you click on analytics. The analytics page, it's a real-time analytics page. It shows you our MNAV. It shows you our share price, our Bitcoin on the balance sheet. It shows you our buys, when we've bought it. I mean, it's so... Oh, Bitcoin treasury companies are probably the most transparent businesses that we've ever seen, because they have to be. And I think that gives us an incredible amount of power to do some real novel things. And there's a lot in our arsenal, a lot we'd be thinking about, but we're going to do this real carefully, in unison with our shareholders, and making sure that we don't do silly things. We're not going to go off and do a pipe deal, come back to South Africa with, you know, 4 or 5 billion rand and go block buy Bitcoin, you know, 5 billion rand worth of Bitcoin. That's what we've seen being done irresponsibly in other jurisdictions. And we feel the time to launch the strategy couldn't have been better. You know, Bitcoin's got, you're seeing drawdowns, the fear index is an all-time high. This is kind of when you run in, right? When the house is burning and everyone's running out, the Buffett says, you know, you run in.
This is when you run in. That's what,
exactly. So we love Bitcoin at these price levels. We're very bullish on the long-term prospects relative to this price point. And so the fundamentals of the technology, no matter what the price point is still so strong. And this is going to be the bare instrument that people will utilize to do things like what we're doing with it. And we think a private credit engine plugged into it is not dissimilar from Sailor. Sailor's issuing digital credit. You know, what we're doing is we're issuing fiat-based private credit, but backed by
this Bitcoin.
Incredible collateral.
And that's the key point. This was, if we think back to Oldfest for a moment, when I first saw the idea that you're becoming a Bitcoin treasury company, I thought it was a pivot. Chatting with you, this wasn't a pivot. This is still your underlying private credit business remains there. This is not a pivot. This is just a different funding mechanism.
And you know, it's been tough. So here are the things that were tough.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, making sure that the regulators understood what we were doing.
Sure.
That was real tough, you know, and we had to have good relationships there. And we had to prove to the SARB, the FISCA, to the JSC that we were doing things that were responsible and not irresponsible. So they've watched us and they keep watching us very closely. Our MOI does allow us to do this. And that's, so we're very unique on the JSC. So I don't think you're going to see this from anyone else soon, because it is tough. It took us a couple of years to get where we are now. Number two is you got to get the board aligned with this, right? So as the chairman before, and now I'm the executive chairman, and I own the Bitcoin store. I'm the director of the Bitcoin strategy. I'm working very closely with Warren, the CEO. We had to make sure that the board had the necessary skill sets, that the board was orientated. So that took a lot of work.
Yeah.
Then it was actually having the people, technology, and processes in place to do a Bitcoin buy. And so what you see right now is we just have under 4 Bitcoin. And the reason is we've done it very carefully, because every step is an educational move. It's a move making sure that our people, process, and technology is aligned with it. We've got the necessary governance and compliance. We've actually changed our auditor. Our auditor is now Orvis Mazars. Yeah. And the reason is they've got the skill sets. I mean, Vian.
Yeah, I was going to say Vian, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Vian is he's got his doctorate in crypto governance, right? So, and I've had huge respect for him. And if we've worked together in individual capacities, independently engaging with regulators. So it made sense that we had them as an auditor. So that had to happen. So it takes a lot for a business to settle down and get a structure in place to adopt the strategy. And that's what I think we've done now. So from here on in, it is all about opening up the rails on the various markets across the world so we can engage interested parties. And we've got lots of interested parties. It's very exciting. Everyone wants to talk about us because our story is very, very unique. I went to Bitcoin Amsterdam a couple of weeks ago and I got up on stage and I think our presentation was the most watched on YouTube. We got rave reviews when we were there because I was on stage with the other treasury companies that were trying to replicate what Michael Saylor did. And all I heard was what Michael Saylor said in a different way from each one of them. And it kind of upset me. And I was like, this is not Bitcoin's original story.
Where's the innovation?
So I think our play is powerful. It's unique and it's exciting because I think it's highly impactful.
And how do you fund? So you've got just under 4 Bitcoin at this time. You did a capital raise. Was it October, if memory serves? You actually had a coin beforehand. Are you going to take, obviously, potentially more capital raises, but also you make a profit from your private credit business. Do you take some of that and then put it into Bitcoin?
Absolutely. So that's so if you take a look at it, like the visual, and it's a pity this is the podcast, but the visual is kind of an iceberg, right? So in the top of the iceberg is the Bitcoin Treasury Company. And the Bitcoin Treasury Company does all the cool Bitcoin Treasury Company stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it looks at its MNAV, it does an equity issuance, it does a private placement, and it goes off and raises in a highly accretive way, making sure that the common shareholders and the original shareholders are not, you know, maximally diluted in a negative way. So, you know, really doing that play well and watching our Bitcoin yield and making sure that the metrics around Bitcoin per share keeps going up every move that we make. And that's the key focus, making sure that we always have more Bitcoin per share. Because remember, a Bitcoin Treasury Company, why do you invest in a Bitcoin Treasury Company versus owning Bitcoin itself? We, as a maxi, I will say always buy Bitcoin. Okay, that's what you always want. But if you want to diversify into a company that's going to attempt to give you more yield on your Bitcoin, i.e., outperform Bitcoin's annual performance, that's what we're wanting to do with our Bitcoin treasury. And that's where you want to put money into us. So what we are going to do is, on the top of that iceberg, is try and outperform Bitcoin on a pure play at the bottom, on the top. At the bottom, we've got this private credit engine that we're now going to stimulate and empower with this Bitcoin yield on the top, so we can raise fiat, and the profitability from that then feeds back up into the top of the iceberg. Absolutely. The profits flow back in, we buy more Bitcoin, Bitcoin galvanizes, that balance sheet gets stronger, I can lend more at a lower LTV, and I can bring more fiat back at a great interest rate and deploy it at prime, you know, in South Africa and across. I mean, just at a great arbitrage. And then start offering services there at the bottom that are also accretive and budget neutral. So it's not just aggregating Bitcoin by diluting our shareholders. I think that play is a dangerous play. Okay, so we want to go off and be a profitable business and have this beautiful flywheel at the bottom feeding into our Bitcoin. Absolutely.
And a last question. Right up front, you corrected me. I said crypto, and you said, no, this is a Bitcoin story. This is not a you have no interest in the other cryptos. And to be clear, there are, I was going to say thousands. It's tens, I don't know, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
This, to you, this is a Bitcoin story.
Yeah, but because there's only one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
The others are all solving for an interesting computer science problem.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Cardano, Solana, Ethereum, these things are interesting, but they're not digital commodities.
Yeah.
They're not immutable. They're not completely decentralized. They're not sovereign. They're not digital commodities. This is the first time in human history we've ever had a digital commodity. And it's an asset without an issuer. The others all have a chief marketing officer, got a set of developers, they got a CEO. You know, Bitcoin doesn't have that. It's a protocol. It runs the Bitcoin mines in the background and it just does what it does. It doesn't care what we think the price is. It's a protocol. And that's a beautiful thing. It's just like gold doesn't care. Gold doesn't have a chief marketing officer. Gold doesn't have a head office. Gold's in the ground. So, you know, this is in the ether and it just keeps doing what we're doing. So we're utilizing this digital commodity. And I think in a very novel way, and I think in the next literally 36 to 48 months, you're going to see another major JSE company doing something similar to us. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable because just this asset is just going to continue to grow. And as more and more people get comfortable with it, you'll see more and more plays like this. And I think on the international stage, you'll see it. I mean, look at it, Simon. The best performing equities in the world in the last 24 months are all companies that are Bitcoin treasury companies. Metaplanet. Strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, MicroStrategy has outperformed NVIDIA.
Yeah.
You know, so, and why? And I think this is, and people feel uncomfortable with it because they don't really understand it. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we have, is making sure that our current funders, our pension funds that give us money, understand that we've quarantined away the strategy in terms of the team and the people. So we're not contaminating anything on their side, but also getting them comfortable that like Bitcoin is actually more, you know, of peace of mind than the fiat that you're giving us.
Well, 100%. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as much as, you know, Bitcoin's 16 years old. I first bumped into it, I don't know, 2011. For me, it's been around forever. But for a lot of folks, it is a brand new thing they've literally never heard of. If we use a gold analogy, that's got thousands of years. We'll leave it there. Stafford Massey, Executive Chairman.
Thank you, Sam.
African Bitcoin Corporation. Appreciate.
Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
That's it for today. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We hear every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Siren, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. Tomorrow, we've got Professor Adrian Saville on the age of fracture.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.